Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I have with me an erotic romance thriller author and occasional naughty poet. She enjoys writing to stimulate the reader's mind and body one word at a time, and she is C.R. Lemons. C.R. is a native Texan who requires a cup of coffee to function, must have background music playing for concentration, and enjoys her life full of laughter. As a child, she would sneak her mom's romance novels and lose herself in them. Her love of writing started through poetry while she was in her teens, and she's always had an active imagination and dreamt of sharing it through writing. Well, this dream finally came true with her first novel, Getting Him Off Quickly, from the Getting Him Off series, Book One, and continues with her published catalog full of romance, thrillers, and poetry. And with that introduction, I know I am quite ready to hear more. So welcome to the network, CR.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Good. I'm happy that we are here together. And you've got me intrigued when we talked about stimulating your mind and body one word at a time. Why does this capture you as the writer?
Well, I read murder mysteries and erotic romance, and so whenever I chose to write books, that's the genres I chose to go down. I want to give the reader an experience, and so I don't want it just to be the erotic romance side of it. I want to, you know, stimulate their mind as well.
No, I get that, and it makes sense to write what you enjoy to read.
Yes.
Now, do you write full-time?
I do, mostly.
Okay, so you don't have another job where you've got to try to fit this in?
No, I work from home, so I fit it in there.
That's perfect. Well, before we delve into your book series, tell us about your erotic poetry.
Well, I started off through my love of poetry. I had an active imagination, and so I needed an outlet there. And poetry is where I started as a teen. And then after I wrote my first novel, I got introduced to erotic poetry. And I found that I have a talent in writing, and I enjoy writing poetry where you can write just a few words and come across through that.
And how was that received when you first put your first piece out? Who read it, and what was the response?
My poetry as a teenager?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually my English teacher who I admire in high school, and she actually was trying to get me into UIL, and it's so scary to write something that's so emotional and you're so connected to, and let other people read that. And so when I was a teenager, I couldn't release that. You know, she read it, and a friend of mine read it, and she was trying to get me in to do it through the talented contest.
Yeah, it's kind of scary as a young child to be mm-hmm. so vulnerable, especially with poetry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. To have your emotions out there. I mean, that you write poetry, at least I do. And most people do write poetry through emotion mm-hmm. and what you go through.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very personal, for sure.
Yes.
Well, now, the title of your book series, Getting Him Off, it's quite provocative. So let's talk about that, how that came about, what it means to you, what the whole point is of using that as a title.
Well, whenever I chose to write Getting Him Off Quickly, I wanted to write about an investigative paralegal, that their whole thing is to people that are arrested, they are trying to get them off. And so I was writing, when I chose to write my first book, I chose to write erotic romance, basically a balance of erotic romance and a murder mystery. And so I did a play on words of getting him off.
Oh, I like that. And I don't think many people would figure that out at first glance at the cover and the title until they really figure out what the content is about.
Yes, yes.
You created quite a situation that they need to solve by reading the book.
Yes. It is a title that catches people's attention. And then when they, you know, read the synopsis, they're like, oh, okay, you know.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, now you have what, 5 books?
I have 5 books for that series.
Yes.
And then I have 3 standalones.
Okay, let's talk about those 5 in the series and maybe just briefly 1 through 5. Just give us the titles and just a little tiny excerpt of them so we can tease our audience.
Okay. Getting Off Quickly, it's about a well-known attorney that is arrested for murder of his wife and business partner. And then that's book one. Getting Off Secretly, book two, is a judge's acquaintance went missing and ultimately murdered. And so he hires the firm prior to his possible arrest. And then Getting Off Completely is book three. And it's about one of the firm's investigators is arrested for a murder of his girlfriend. And prior to being an investigator, he was an undercover agent, and his arrest stems from the undercover assignment. And then Getting Off Sweetly is book four, and it's about a father figure, Daisy, the main character, the investigative paralegal, gets brutally murdered, and his son, a close friend and high school sweetheart to Daisy, is arrested for the murder. And then Getting Off Finally, they were hired to represent a guy sitting on death row and scheduled to be executed in a few weeks.
Wow. So obviously that's the end of the series, yes?
Yes, yes. It is. You know, Daisy is the main character. She's fun and loving, and she's an investigative paralegal. And the secondary, her love interest is a criminal investigator. Each book is in a case on their own, and it's ended by the end of the book. But the love story goes throughout.
And what are you going to do without Daisy? It sounds like that was probably a great connection.
It is. You know, I really enjoyed writing her. She was so much fun. She's someone that you want to go drink with and that you, you know, she's a best friend and just someone that if there's a yellow line there, she's going to cross it, you know. And she was very fun to write, and that's one of the things that I've gotten from the readers is how much they enjoy her and her story. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to step away. I've actually had readers asking me recently if I'm going to bring back that series. I ended it to where I could possibly, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. 5 books is a series to get into, mm-hmm. you know, and I give it to the authors that have the 10, 13, 20.
Well, it's like everything in life. All good things must end, right?
Yes, yes.
I get it. Well, let's talk about your success in this erotic romantic thriller genre. I mean, there's a lot going on there. Why do you feel that you're so successful at it?
I think my biggest success is having the character so likable. I create women that are strong characters, and it comes across, it's well received by readers. They jump off this book, you know, you feel like you're actually a part of it. And so I think that's where the success is.
So it's fairly easy for you to write in this genre.
It is. When I originally decided to, you know, it's something I read, like I said, but I had to say, did I want to do the erotic part? You know, did I want to give in family and friends and that sort of stuff? And I was, you know, I have a very great support system. So I chose to go that route, and I find that I'm good at getting it across, not only the erotic side, but also the murder mystery side. I'm always, my mind is constantly going. You have to be a step ahead of yourself, especially whenever you're writing murder mystery.
Oh, I would imagine. That's why I said, when I said those 3 words, erotic and romantic and thriller, each one of those on their own would be enough. But to combine
yes.
them together, yeah, you've got a lot going on in your head.
What I had someone say once is that I wanted to do the erotic thrillers, and they've never seen a good balance, which that's what I came across.
Mm-hmm.
I loved reading erotic romance, and I loved reading the thrillers. But when I would read one or the other, they would be more heavier on one genre than the other. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to do that attempt of doing both and not overwhelm the erotic side of it, the romance side of it, or the thriller, the murder mystery side of it. Mm-hmm. And so I've had people tell me that I've kind of created a new genre with that, as if that makes sense. Not created, but you know what I mean, is to marry them for the storylines to go parallel to one another.
Absolutely. No, I get exactly what you're saying, and you're obviously successful at it, and that's very, very exciting. I'm impressed by that for sure. Well, now you say you had other books. What other books should we know about? I think you have a Mysterious Mr. Blackstone.
Yes, yeah. That's a romantic comedy. It's an erotic romantic comedy. But when I wrote Getting Him Off, I'd realized as writing it that I did pretty good about the comedy side of it. And so I decided whenever I finished that series that I kind of wanted to do a more romance side. Now, all of them, except Naturally His, have a legal point to it. But Mysterious Mr. Blackstone is about a young attorney, she's a first-year attorney, and she is hired by Mr. Blackstone's firm. And they both are kind of at a point in their life that's really unsteady, and they find their opposition helps each other and encourage each other to become a better version of themselves.
And so that's the Mysterious Mr. Blackstone, and then there's two more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Naturally His, a Dom Sub romance. And that is something I wanted to do erotic romance there too, but I wanted to do the Dom Sub element or BDSM element. My erotic poetry has a lot of that in it, and so I wanted to attempt a story about BDSM element with it. And when I wrote this, I wanted to write more of the connection side of a Dom Sub romance.
I don't know much about that genre. Is it a big genre? Are there many people writing it?
It is. Mm-hmm. I've actually been surprised myself. It's actually one of my best sellers out of all my books because people just love reading it. It's not my favorite to write. Mm-hmm. I love writing the murder mysteries and all this stuff, but I do enjoy this. This story is about, it's very relatable. It's about a woman that is in an unhappy marriage and she is separated from her cheating husband. And she's just at a point in her life where she feels, you know, undesired. And so whenever she was introduced to Liam Scott, who happens to be an architect that works for a firm that they're working with, he introduces her to an alternative lifestyle and reignites that spark in her mundane life. And so I think it can be relatable to very many people when they hit certain stages in their lives.
Very, very interesting how you have evolved, how your writing has moved from one to another.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite book that you've written so far?
Well, my favorite is the, I just released my latest one, which is a psychological thriller. And it just was released last Tuesday, and it's Fractured Wings. It's about a young girl that just graduated law school, just got engaged, about to start her career and move away from her hometown when she's attacked. And it's a story about this woman that that realized she needs to overcome such a brutality and then goes forward with trying to find out who is responsible for the attack. And she found her biggest support in the FBI agent in charge of her case. So it's a beautiful story. It's one that when I wrote it, when I started off writing it, I thought she was going to be a weaker character than what she ended up being. And so it was a story that took a lot of changes as I wrote it. And it was a tough subject to write about. And it has a very good message by the end of the book.
So was there much research involved for you for this topic?
Absolutely. She was attacked, so I had to do research into what happens. You go to the ER, to the emergency room afterwards. What would they do when they came across a scene that she was in whenever the EMTs came? I had to do a lot of research in it. And then what also, coping mechanisms afterwards and what someone would go through going through that and what coping mechanisms would a person need to try to get through it, and It was such a wonderful story to write, and the biggest thing is someone coming out of it, you know, the message that you're not a victim, you're a survivor.
As you're saying that, I'm just thinking, as a writer, with the research that you have to do, how much you grow as a person, just in what you learn, and then what it is that you share with others. You don't know who you're touching with this message, but I'm sure there's mm-hmm. people out there that this is a gift to them.
Yes. I take the person, like, for instance, a handful of characters I created. There's a character in my Getting Off Secretly. She was the victim, the victim, and she was a dancer, an exotic dancer, and I humanized her, you know, and this, she's such a small character in the book, although, but she is a big character because she's a suspect, and you learn about her life. You know, Daisy had to go through and learn about her life. The fifth book of the series is about a guy on death row, and, you know, I humanize him. You know, he's, you know, probably low income or whatever, but he's been on death row and he's been convicted. But I learn, you know, I try to humanize him. And one of the things I learn a lot too, like, it's a touchy subject, you know, death penalty. And so I learned a lot whenever I wrote that book. I would like to think, like, Fractured Wings. I wrote it thinking about, you know, because there's many aspects of assaults and the brutality behind it. And I was shocked about the atmosphere that came about recently, and it's still, you know, going on right before I finished this book. And it's a really good message.
I can tell that you probably learned a lot about yourself through the writing process. It helps you to change and grow as well. So you mentioned some of your characters, and I always love to talk about characters because they become so personal to the author and to the reader, especially in a series where you keep, you know, you spend 4 or 5 books and you read about the same person. You feel like it's a family member. So as you're writing your characters, you mentioned this in this last book where you thought she was going to be a weaker character, and she came off being obviously a stronger woman.
Yes.
So that always makes me wonder how in control you are of these people. Oh, or they just take off like bad kids. Like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. How does that work for you?
It is. It is a crazy process because I really thought, and it changed the story. I really am someone that listens to my characters. I know it sounds funny, but with Daisy, a lot of times I'd actually see her sitting in front of me, you know, as I'm writing the story. But they are real people to me, and I listen to them. I create these characters and who they are and their personalities. And whenever I think, well, maybe this needs to go this way, they're like, nope, that's not me. You know, that's not the character. And so it is. They're really in control, I guess. But one of the things that with Fractured Wings is I thought it was going to be a story about this young girl not able to cope, and she hit rock bottom, which happens, you know. I mean, that really does happen. But I literally fought with this character, and she said, no, that's not who I am, you know. And of course, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, you know, this backstory of this character, where she came from, who her dad was, you know, it is. She's not that person that would have done that.
So as you prepare to write these characters, do you actually have a spreadsheet where you have a questionnaire so that you say, okay, this is how old, the eyes and parents, and this is what's in a refrigerator? Do you have all of that written out?
No, I'm not. I'm a very seat-of-the-pants writer. The time that I sit down and start writing stuff down is about halfway through the book, especially when it's a murder mystery. You've got to sit down and kind of take notes of what's this, what's that, and get everybody back on track and to the ending of, you know, solving whatever situation it is. But it's all in my head. I mean, I have some kind of organization or spreadsheet going on up there, but I think about the characters and know and really get to know them as real people, and for me be able to write them, and creating who their father is or their mother, what's in their refrigerator, what would they eat, what would they like, you know, you develop that as a character. I like watching people. You know, when I go out with my friends, you know, we go to a diner, it's the best place to go, it's a place to have breakfast, and I just observe people and what they do and their mannerisms, and I pick up on that to put it in my books, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love that. I wish I was nearby. I'd go to the breakfast diner with you. We could watch people. Uh-huh. I love that as well. Let's talk about the names of your characters. How do you go about naming them? Because I would imagine that's very, very important to their persona.
Yeah, Daisy came about as, I love Daisy, that's my favorite flower. And I think Daisy, in that have something to do with PI work, and so I thought that would, and Sinclair just sounded like an investigator, sounded like someone nosy, and I don't know. It just came to me, Daisy Sinclair. Warren Cole, I like to name guys with last names as first names. It's just something I do. Most of my characters, other than the agent in my last book, Tony Gabrielli, I wanted a strong Italian guy, and so I liked that name. You know, I just, a lot of times sitting down and writing the name down and figuring out, is that who this person is? Like Rachel and Blackstone, I've pictured this girl first, and then Rachel just came to me as this innocent, I don't want to say nerdy, but kind of nerdy girl for whatever. Rachel came to me that. And then Fractured Wings, actually, her name comes from, I knew she was going to be a junior. She's the only girl of a district judge, and he wanted a boy, and his name is Alex Lee Sutherland, and so he named his daughter Alex Lee Sutherland. She's a junior. And so I had to pick a name that would work, you know, both man and a female.
Mm-hmm. Daisy Sinclair is an awesome name. I feel like I know that person already. Just very cool names. What's next? Are you working on another project, I'm sure?
The second book, To Naturally His, Becoming His, it's the continued story of this couple. And whenever I finish that book, I wasn't sure if I was going to continue on to do two more books, and then I had a lot of readers, and they finished, so like, I want more. Mm-hmm. And that always feels good whenever you write characters that people just fall in love with, that they want to know more about them, you know.
Absolutely.
But I didn't think after writing a 5-book series that I'd want to get back into another series.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my. They're in charge of you.
Yes, they are.
They are, I could tell. Well, let's talk a bit about your publishing, your first book. How did that come about?
I've always wanted to write. Like I said, my outlet was poetry when I was a kid, and I never wrote since then. And then I had a point in my life that I could do it. And so I decided to write the book. And then honestly, I didn't want to publish it. I just wanted to write it because I needed this creative outlet. And then someone had mentioned Amazon, the self-publishing route. And I thought, you know, I'll send it out. And if one person enjoys it, then that's one person that enjoyed it. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of what got it started.
And so then you self-published all of your books?
Yes, yeah. I ended up self-publishing and creating, you know, my own publishing company, and then just published myself, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great that that's an available tool to us?
It is. I like self-publishing, and I've heard people that are hybrids, that's traditional and self-publishing that they get most of their sales from self-publishing, but then they get the marketing side from the traditional side, and that they feel like they have better control over it. And that's the way I feel, is I feel like I have creative control over everything.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it gets a lot of work out there that wouldn't necessarily have made it.
You're right.
Made it, and people would never have heard, and people would not have this creative outlet. I just think it's been a godsend. But the whole marketing side, as you mentioned, is a really difficult piece.
It is.
Because how do you write and market at the same time? How do you balance that?
especially having so many books. When I first did it and I had my one book, it was a lot easier. And, you know, you have to hit and miss. Like, you, unfortunately, there's people out there that prey on the hope of a self-publisher, any writer, you know, any artist, and they say, oh, I can do this for you, and then, you know, you go down that route and see that really is not beneficial to you. And it's been a hit and miss, but I have a PA that's just wonderful, and she helps me a lot, and then I have a street team, and I just do my best at, you know, promoting myself through social media. That's been the biggest, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Yeah, again, in tandem with the whole self-publishing opportunity, social media gives you that marketing outlet.
Yes, that you can. I have become so many friends with my readers. I'll be in an event, which would be online event, with another author, and someone will come on and say, oh my gosh, I love your books. And I had no idea, like, you know. And so it is very much an opportunity that you wouldn't have if it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I was very socially inept until I started writing. I was like, a month after I published, I was like, I guess I need to get on Facebook and all these other things. So,
well, there you go. Whatever you're doing a good job with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before we begin to wrap up, let's talk about your cover art. Where does that come from?
I design it. The first, my series books, I actually needed a cover designer because I didn't have the editing programs to do that. And I had something in mind, and so I, you know, worked with her and got it done. All my other books I've done myself with being able to do with my editing programs. But it's just, I just have a certain thought of what I feel portrays the book and what it's about. And of course, you want the eye catchers, you know. Fractured Wings, I've had so much compliments on that cover, and it's probably been my easiest cover to create.
So you're kind of doing it all yourself.
I'm a control freak is probably a good description. I juggle. I love juggling, and I thrive on stressful situations. So I'm just a very type A personality. But yes, I do a lot of it myself.
I love that. I can relate to that. Well, we've really covered a lot today, and I'm glad we had this opportunity to talk about all of your books. But is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I'm just very happy to be here, and I really appreciate being here and being able to talk about my books. And I can't do it without the readers, and I think that's probably the biggest reward is people, the readers, to contact me, and when they do, and tell me certain things about the books and how much they love the characters and love the story, and they felt like they were a part of it. And if I can get them to escape for a second, that's, you know, I feel like I did my job.
Mm-hmm. No, the feedback from the readers is very important, because here you are kind of working in a vacuum. You're not knowing if anyone hears you or listens.
Yes.
Or reads, but to be able to hear something back. So we really always encourage readers to reach out to the author and say yes or no. At least you can get some kind of feedback from them. So I think that's really important as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even negative feedback helps me become a better writer. You know, I mean, it just, if someone tells me that, you know, this something needs to be changed or it didn't make sense or whatever, okay, you know, that helps me become a better writer.
It's a little hard sometimes if you get some negative, but you've got to be open to that so you can grow.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, now, where can folks go then to learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
My website, www.drlemons.com, and then Amazon. I'm exclusively on Amazon.
So it's C.R. Lemons, like a lemon, crlemons.com. Well, C.R., any final words before we say goodbye?
Just that thank you so much, and I appreciate being here, and I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it as well, sending everyone to crlemons.com. Thank you so much for sharing you and your books and your advice and your wisdom today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.